In the big city, crime could strike at any time. And so people realize now that not just crime, but the fear of crime is rapidly eroding and changing the American way of life. The point is, we need a spiritual answer in the United States. It's about time we knew exactly where to look for the right one. Again, I say, the United States of America needs a miracle. What kind of a miracle? Where from? Who's going to bring it? You keep watching, and you're certainly going to understand. The opinions, as some people might call them, and the views, as others might choose to phrase them, that you will hear on this program are going to be unlike anything you've ever heard before, and I doubt that very few people will agree with all of them. But at least they will underline the fact that this is a different kind of a television program backed up by daily radio in hundreds of stations in the United States, Canada, and around the world. And for many, many years I have been, as some people might say, sticking my neck out about a mile to bring to the viewing and the listening public an in-depth overview and an understanding of some of the global crises that literally threaten human existence. For just a brief look at what we have in store for you this coming season and some of the crises that seem to defy solutions, or if the solutions are apparent, for some strange reason we seem unwilling to get about the business of solving the problems, take a look at this. What is the best word we could use to describe a big American city? Is it affluence, culture, excitement, entertainment, size, convenience, money? What? Well, according to most surveys, it is fear. That's right, because crime is rising out of all proportion to population. Did you know, now listen carefully to this statistic, I think it's an absolutely shocking one, that more than 800,000 Americans have lost their lives due to guns since 1900. More than have been killed in all of our wars. That's right. More than 800,000 Americans since 1900 have been killed as a result of guns. We have a crime rate that is far higher than all of the combined populations of West Germany, of England, and of Japan put together. 50 times higher in gun murders alone. In the United States, it is absolutely proved that about 8 out of 10 people are a little bit fearful of going out into the big city at night, especially, of course, the female gender. It's quite commonplace now for robbings, rapings, muggings, murders, and so on to happen with fair frequency, even in the smallest of the large communities, and people are very aware of this. It has changed our shopping habits, it's changed the design of our buildings and our architecture. Senior citizens' villages are like as not surrounded by moats with armed guards. We all know there is an all-pervading fear of crime, and this fear is another major factor in the stress that life itself imposes upon us in this great country of ours with its agonizing problems. Cities can and do go broke. Just like any other corporation, they have to have sources of income, and they provide certain products or services. In the case of those living in cities, it has to do with the parks and recreation department, with welfare, with hospitals, with airports, with the city streets and the city building and housing commission. And it has to do with the police department and the fire department and so on. Not long ago in Baltimore, when the police department, because of a strike for higher wages and benefits, went out on strike, we saw the spectacle of Americans immediately attacking the supermarkets and the stores downtown in a rampaging insanity of looting and the like. Today, white flight is a big problem. And because of the all-pervasive fear of crime and the worries over the disproportionate type of ethnic composition of some of the inner urban schools, white flight is a very real problem to the conduct of American big cities. Simply because of the massive moves of many of the middle-income whites out of the inner urban complex to the suburbs to get their children in more desirable school areas, or simply to live in a neighborhood where they are not in a highly ethnic minority neighborhood, many cities know this. As a matter of fact, all of them of any size at all know it. then they are losing in these cities the most important part of their tax base. Hence, they have less revenue, and therefore far less money to control and to conduct the business of city government. The inflationary spiral in which we find ourselves today could well prove to be the biggest problem of all, because it may be the one which leads to a big, big depression. Right now, prices are rising faster than at any other time in all of peacetime history. In 1972, the inflation rate was about 3.4%. In 1973, it soared 8.8%. And by May of 1974, and looking at the running year of a 12-month period, it had gone up to 10.7%. Right now, as I talk to you, it's at the rate of about 11.5%. And by the time you see this telecast, it could have gone even higher. Believe it or not, your dollar that you were earning last year has gone down by about 11 cents. That is, it will buy that much less, while in the meantime, the average worker's pay rise was going at the rate of about 4%. So today, from almost any point of view, whether just from the crush of population, the fantastic problem of interurban pollution, and certainly right now, as the camera tends to wash out the background behind me because of an eye-burning, kind of a throat-smarting, unbelievable smog in the city of Los Angeles, pollution is not one of the least, but one of the most important of our problems of modern-day cities. But our cities are, in effect, the backbone and the industrial might and the muscle, the intelligence, the art, the culture, the literature, everything, except what we eat, of course, which comes off the farms, that makes up the United States of America. And today, if our cities are any kind of a measuring rod, they are in deep trouble. Our cities, I say, are virtually uninhabitable, and that means a large part of the United States of America is becoming uninhabitable. We in the cities are in desperate need of some kind of a striking, dramatic change in the entire way of city life. That means we need a dramatic change in the way of life in the United States of America. We could halt inflation as consumers by simply refusing to pay the prices of many of the commodities with soaring costs. We could alter our diet, change our living standards and our habits, buy and drive different kinds of automobiles, or simply reject automobiles altogether, but we won't, because we seem to be absolutely dazzled by the Frankenstein we have built, unable to see it's about to turn upon us and perhaps strangle us to death. If we could get off our binge of the voracious devouring of energy and our fantastic, burgeoning, unbelievable production of pollution in this Frankenstein we have created, and begin to really look at the quality of life in America, in the country, and in the city, and to wonder whether it's really worth it all, then we could stop it. But we won't. The signs are that we simply will not. And if we do not, then we will not halt this accelerated plunge on a toboggan slide straight down the drain as a country. And I'm very concerned, because I do not see in the United States today the kind of resolve, individually or collectively, that is going to solve these huge problems in time. At the present rate of our devouring of Earth's resources, our needs in the United States are determined by experts and by the graphs and charts to double by the year 2000. That means exactly twice as many homes, twice as much food production, twice in terms of GNP, twice as many automobiles. Can you really imagine in your wildest nightmares a United States of America with exactly double the use of coal, of electrical energy, double the needs in automobile fuel and everything of the kind? I think it really defies our imagination. This is one of the enormous problems of our day. Air pollution is an old and a tired subject. I think people are just about tired of talking about it. And yet, if you had known nothing about air pollution and you were taking a flight from, say, a country area to a big city like Los Angeles on a typical summer day, or perhaps better yet in June, and you came into the LA area and you saw that enormous 200 or 300 or 400 mile blanket of thick smog, I think you would actually wonder whether or not the entire city had caught fire and burnt to the ground. I think if smog were suddenly a one-day blow that people could look at as if they had never seen it before, they would realize what an enormous problem it is. Somewhere between 1 to 500 people die in Los Angeles every year as a direct result of smog, seemingly a small figure. And yet there is no real way to tell how much lung cancer, emphysema, heart disease, and other smog-related incidents there are, such as accidents on the job or even traffic accidents. It still burns our eyes and makes our throats raw and destroys millions upon millions of dollars in weather stripping and even paints and finishes and our automobiles and everything of the kind every year. And it still is true that the United States produces more in terms of tonnage every year in smog and air pollution than we do in steel. And what about noise pollution? Millions of us come into the country to escape the enervating and exhausting noise that we put up with where we are. In my own personal case, we lived in an area where the traffic outside, even up to 2 and 3 in the morning, drove us just about nuts for year after year until we finally managed to get onto a quieter street. They estimate that somewhere around 70 decibels per day can be physically harmful. And then they found that even school children put up with about 77 per day, and that factory workers live commonly with about 79 decibels per day. And so many people are even experiencing hardness of hearing and growing deafness as a direct result of the high noise levels with which we live in our Frankenstein-like society. Water pollution, an enormous problem by itself. And there, once again, something that people are a little tired of talking about. And yet it's estimated that millions of Americans are living with a water situation where they're drinking water and using it daily, which is really unfit and unsafe for human health. It's estimated in some of the lower Mississippi regions that people are using water recycled at least 4 times through other people's, bathrooms. That's right. All the way down, the water has to be used and reused. And as one person commented at a factory somewhere, perhaps in the Lake Erie area, it's not my factory that's polluting that lake out there, it's all those dead fish, because we killed about 70 million of them in 1971. And farmland is deteriorating, and it's shrinking very rapidly. Not only are we abusing the soil by dumping on enormous amounts of the artificial fertilizers, and then spraying toxic and powerful chemical poisons such as herbicides, fungicides, and pesticides on the crops, but also farmland is diminishing gradually every year. Maybe not so gradually when you realize it's 375 acres a day. What we tend to do in our society is to build our cities, witness Los Angeles, on some of the best farmland on the face of the earth, and then we go out and farm the deserts. And as our interstate system, our freeways and highways, our urban sprawl reaches out to gobble up more and more of the land on which we ought to be growing the foods that are so desperately needed, that problem continues unabated. 375 acres of good old America gobbled up by asphalt, concrete, and steel every single day. Solid pollution, an enormous problem. You and I, the average American citizen, gets rid of about 1,000 pounds of garbage, of tin cans, of bottles, a lot of it, of course, the non-biodegradable type of petrochemical plastics that we use so commonly today and that you find strewn all over the landscape. You can backpack into a wilderness area, mile after mile, trying to get away from the mad scramble and find an idyllic place by yourself, away from the madding crowd. And you can go 5 miles, 10 miles, or 20 miles, and you're still going to find plastic bottles, beer cans, usually aluminum, a lot of snap tabs and things along the way where others before you have littered that mountain wilderness you were trying to get out into with their own waste and trash. In terms of solid pollution, it means that every single year in the United States, you could see a line of 3 garbage trucks abreast, lined up from New York to Los Angeles. That is the annual American solid pollution production figure. The energy crisis. We know that an energy crisis was impending. We knew it way before the Arab oil embargo, after the Yom Kippur War. But a lot of Americans think the energy crisis is over now, simply because we began to receive shipments of Arab crude. But that is not even the beginning of the energy crisis. When you think about what I said at the beginning here a few moments ago, that our needs are going to double by about 2000, and you look at the uncontrollable birth rate of the world as a whole, at the fact that we are on a global community, not just the problems of the United States, but energy for the human race. And you realize that by the time the Alaskan pipeline is completed, even if it is on time, by the time the first drop reaches those tankers and comes down to Los Angeles from the port up in Alaska, our needs will have sufficiently increased to render the Alaskan pipeline virtually worthless. We will not only have stood still, we will actually have retrogressed. Right now in the United States, we're operating more than half of the automobiles and the trucks and the motor vehicles on the surface of this earth. Yet projections are that we will double in these and all other of our needs and our uses by the year 2000. The energy crisis is only one more of the major problems confronting the United States of America today. If our energy demands double by the year 2000, and those who know say they most assuredly will, then this is only one more area where America needs a miracle. We need the stopping of this downward trend. We need some dramatic, unseen, hitherto unrealized change coming from some unknown source. If you take pollution, the area of population, food production, energy demands, our growing voracious needs as we become more and more hooked on our technology, and you wade into the future with these and other known trends and curves, the picture is indeed foreboding. There is no way out except massive starvation, dynamic, unbelievable social upheavals, global food wars, individual countries going to war one with another to fight over dwindling means of non-renewable resources and the means of survival, unless something happens not presently foreseen by any of the forecasters.
Do you believe that the people who run this country are concerned for you as an individual?
No. They're concerned for themselves just to make money, that's it.
Who do you trust in federal government?
Nobody. Absolutely nobody.
Do you trust the president?
Not really. Maybe to a certain extent, but not in the large problems, no.
Do you trust the president of the United States?
No.
Do you trust the Senate or the Congress?
It depends on who it is. As a group, I don't think they produce well.
Do you trust politicians as a whole?
I'm really skeptical.
Where do you think the solutions to some of the big problems affecting us, such as inflation, etc., are going to come from? From what group or from what person?
I have no idea. No idea at all. I'm so confused right now about inflation and the federal government, I just truly couldn't answer that.
Actually, no one knows who to believe anymore. The United States is in such a crisis of confidence with such mistrust of our leadership, we really don't believe anybody. A lot of people feel it's the media's responsibility for eroding confidence in our president and leaders in the White House. But after all, when for more than 2 years Americans have become so familiar with household names which are now found in prison farms, you can't blame the media entirely for the crisis in confidence in the United States government. If a Martian, someone quipped, were to come to this country today and say, "Take me to your leader," he's probably going to have to visit a prison farm somewhere in Pennsylvania. As a matter of fact, articles have told us of the life of once trusted president confidants in the White House who are now peeling potatoes and learning how to drive tractors or milk cows on prison farms. So it's no wonder that many people say they trust their garbage man more than they trust someone in government. Senator Henry Jackson said recently that people just don't seem to trust any elected officials or politicians anymore, and he said, "What a pity." So at the very time when we need strong and decisive leadership as never before, we find ourselves in a crisis of leadership and a crisis of confidence. And really it has spiritual overtones too. Because most Americans are looking elsewhere than just for federal government or state and other local levels of leadership. They look now outside themselves, or like as not in some cases, even inside themselves, for a spiritist type of an answer. For example, last year, Satan was up 11%, while belief in God was down 9%. Maybe it would be just as well if people closed the doors of all of the great churches of the United States for all of the confidence there is in religion these days, because belief in the occult, in witchcraft, superstition, clairvoyance, ESP, UFOs, something of the bizarre and the strange from perhaps outer space, Americans are looking for a solution in the skies, or perhaps from within themselves. It's true. America needs a miracle. We need a divine, powerful, strong hand from somewhere. The solutions to our problems are not just physical or material, and not to be found in federal government and the leadership in the White House. They're going to have to be found somewhere else. Searching for the right answers, of course, is something else. Americans seemingly do not know where to turn. And just as we lack leadership in government, so it seems people do not know where to go in religion for one strong, powerful voice, one powerful leader to whom they can look. And at a time when the United States of America needs strong, powerful government and leadership, we have a crisis in confidence and a total lack in leadership and in government. We do need a spiritual answer, but it's not going to be found inside the hollow ceremony of some of the staid old Orthodox churches, nor is it going to be found in the demon trip or Satanism or witchcraft that many people are indulging in these days. It's about time we recognized, as never before, our beloved United States of America needs a miracle. I believe you have to agree with that statement. You may not know from where. Who's going to provide the miracle? We actually need a whole series of them, don't we? In private life, in education, in religion, in science, in energy, in the population and food production curve, in the economy, in government, wherever you look. And so in this season of new, in-depth, challenging, straight-from-the-shoulder television, I'm going to be taking a look at all of these problems and others and propounding certain solutions which may prove to be a little bit unpalatable to the general public. Some of the solutions I'll talk about will be shocking and rather strange ones. Solutions that seem to be unreal or otherworldly that people wouldn't easily accept, but solutions which are real solutions nevertheless. We'll be taking a look at such questions as science today and where we're headed in this space age of the arms race and nuclear proliferation amidst nuclear limitations talks. Of laser, of man's latest invention, the incredible potential for good that it has, but also, what about man's decision? Will he use it for weapons of warfare? Europe and Germany on location, specials about Europe and the common market, and what's happening to runaway inflation and toppling governments and the breakup of old alliances there. Religion, the entire mishmash of the Sunday morning comic hour, I call it, and the empty, hollow pulpits of America at a time when we need powerful, strong, certain leadership, even in religion. Programs on the complexity of life, the simple crush and pressure of this Frankenstein, as I choose to call it, that we have built, of the noise and the pollution, of the overcrowded conditions we find crushing in upon us to boggle our minds and age us before our time and give us paunches and chalky, flaccid flesh and cause us early graves from heart disease and hypertension and strokes and the like. And we'll look at life, too, and the meaning of life and death and what lies beyond, the high cost of dying and just what death is and what people say about it and what some of their fears and hang-ups are. And we'll look, too, at the occult picture, at the strange Oriental religions and some of the hang-ups of young people all the way from the Jesus trip to some of the strange occultism and Oriental religions finding their way into the young group of today as an answer to the drug kick. And yes, we'll look at drugs and drug abuse and the hang-ups of young and old alike, whether we're talking about coffee, tea, and alcoholism, an enormous problem in the United States in terms of what it does to damage to the human mind and body, loss of life, absenteeism, broken homes, mental derangement, and disability. We'll look, too, at population, not only in the United States, but around the world, and at farming and weather, and how weather plays a part. And farming globally. The unbelievable spread of drought, the sub-Sahara belt, and that of China, and even of the southern part of the Soviet Union, of the central part of the food grain growing area of the United States of America. And we have coming in-depth material from literally hundreds of on-the-spot sources of farmers who are growing the crops and producing the citrus from Florida to California. Wheat farmers and corn farmers and cattle ranchers and people who grow soybeans on the spot who can tell us exactly what their problems are. You'll be amazed at even such simple things as the high cost of twine and baling wire and machinery and diesel fuel and what some of the problems of cattle raisers and crop growers alike really are. And that will be from
on the spot and on location and in depth. And we're going to be dealing with questions and problems that we see in our newspapers and news magazines. And I'll be purporting to give you some of the real challenging and shocking solutions and some of the real causes as to why we have these problems. I'll be telling you there are laws that are living and unseen that work upon us whether we're aware of them or not. That when we break laws, we can call it natural, but there's nothing natural about childbirth. And there's nothing natural about seeds growing stalks and ears of corn. And there's nothing natural about the weather. And I'll be talking about solutions to government and solutions in religion and global solutions to the food versus population curve and what the future seems to hold. Well, we've gone through a crisis of government. People are still waiting. We're still not totally convinced. But we have had an opportunity in the United States to prove to the rest of the world that our system really works. We've also got an opportunity, if a last-ditch one, a desperate one, to prove that we can revert and we can change to a work ethic. That we in the United States of America can recapture a spirit that our forebears and our forefathers had, which may have led them through divine providence to include in that Constitution articles and documents which have been interpreted lately in terms of the unbelievable agony of Watergate and the closeness of impeachment that threatened the resignation and finally brought about the resignation of a president and a fairly smooth transition of government, that perhaps we can look back at those founding fathers of ours and say they had a fairly good idea as human governments go. And we can look to the future with wonderment about whether or not we in the United States will seize this opportunity. If we will discover where we belong in the community of nations and come to grips with the idea and the reality that the United States of America may really represent the physical and the material salvation for the rest of the world. And without our leadership and our own sacrifice and us leading the way in so many of these areas to really halt runaway cancer-like growth in our own industrial base, our own economy, in so many areas in our private life where we are leading the world in pollution, leading the world in divorce, leading the world in crime, leading the world in murders, leading the world in so many of the wrong ways where we should be leading the world in all of the right ways. And during this entire season, you can listen to me every day, live daily radio, where I have an opportunity in depth and far more currently to say exactly what's going on and what the solutions ought to be. You ought to write for the Plain Truth magazine that keeps you up to the moment about these and other issues from this country and around the world. And you can see where to write at the close of this program. But in the meantime, I want to leave you with this thought. When President Gerald Ford was sworn into office, he talked about a higher power. And he even called upon that higher power for help in the enormous responsibilities settling down on his shoulders. His concluding statement in that brief address that he made was a question, and it was an appeal to the American public to pray for him. The answer as to how well we're going to do in the future may depend entirely upon your answer to his response. Did you pray for him?
All literature offered on the Garner Ted Armstrong program is free upon request. Write Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123. Canadian viewers write Box 44, Vancouver, BC. In the continental United States, you may call this toll-free number, 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444. In California, call 213-577-5225. Be sure to watch Garner Ted Armstrong again next week at this same time.